Recording. So recording is now on.
Lovely.
I'll just unmute the latest people joining.
Good evening, welcome, everybody. Good
evening.
Hi, Peter.
There's 20 people on now.
Lovely. Well done. Nice to speak to everybody. Go on, Colin. Nice to hear from you.
Right, well, this is all cobbled together very quickly.
That's what, right. That's normal.
There we are.
Right. I know some people like clouds in the sky, but I don't see anything wrong with a nice blue sky and a nice clear view. It's nice reflections in the water, and everybody knows where that is. St. Mary's. It's a nice quite easily done. Right, next one, Gavin.
Hello, chaps.
Hello, guys.
This is just a little lane leading down to Lake Garda. I like the old-fashioned lamp hanging over the lane, and I quite like the little old lady having a look round the corner there. You can't see a lot of it there, but the architecture is very nice around the lake there. And that's a happy holiday memory. Next one, Gilby. Butterflies on some sort of plant. I don't even know the name of the plant. But it was absolutely covered that day, and I just had a quick shot. Not much else I can say about that, really. Butterflies on a plant. Right, David. This was just about a couple of weeks ago, if that. It's straight out of the camera. I was up in my lookout tower and was just having a look out of the window, and I just happened to catch the last flare of the sun just as it was dying away. That's just the end of our street, hence the telegraph wire and just the silhouettes of the tree.
I thought it was a slip rope for you to get away.
Sorry?
I thought it was a slip rope.
No, I've got a tunnel started now. Trouble is, I've got to get downstairs first. next one, Gervin. Now, there should be a blackbird on there with a worm in its mouth. Guess what happened?
I heard the shutter and flew off.
Yeah, exactly. Snuff said. Next one, Kirby.
That was a brilliant excuse, Colin.
This was one night I was just having a look out of the window, one of those clear nights, and all I could see was the moon, and there was one star in the sky.
Is this the flower moon, Colin?
Sorry?
Is this the flower moon that was a couple of weeks ago?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know, flower.
No, there's no man in it, I can see.
No,
it was the last, it was the most recent supermoon, and it's called the flower moon because it's the largest full moon in the springtime.
It was a couple of nights after that one.
Oh, it's used to mooning.
Yeah. that was handheld out of the bedroom window. I'm quite pleased with that, actually.
Pretty good.
Blackbird's gone away again.
Yeah. Just flying across the moon.
Need somebody on a broomstick.
next one, Gervin. Well, there you go. Just to prove I'm in lockdown and she's keeping me busy.
Aye,
it said on the tin, may need more than one coating. I'm now 15 litres down and it's had four. Then I'm fed up.
The garden's a lot smaller now, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Yeah, it's taken up a lot of space. All that paint.
What is the article you're painting?
It's a garden chalet or whatever you want to call it. It's a man cave.
Right. Summer house.
Yeah, summer house. That was a nice
an arbour.
It's where I go to escape.
Gazebo.
Yeah.
Summer house.
So you've done your glasses as well, Colin.
Sorry?
So you painted your glasses as well.
Oh, yes. Yeah, same colour, yeah. But no, it's very handy that. If she behaves herself, Mrs. P sometimes gets invited to lunch in there. next one, Gavin. This is obviously the girls are off school, my granddaughters are off school, and mum's got to try and keep them busy. And this is Chloe doing her, I think it's a Money impression.
Yeah, I was going to say it's a Money.
Anyway.
It's very good.
It is.
She's really artistic for her age. She's very good with the old paints. She's just done a story as well for, I don't know if anybody knows, the 500 words thing on BBC Radio 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I had 127,000 entrants this year. Uh-huh. And Chloe got into the last 1,500. So.
Oh, well good.
And her sister, you know, if most of you know, she's a twin. Her sister's got a pom-pom machine, a pom-pom maker, and she's busy making rainbow pom-poms, and she's handing them out for all her friends. And
that's nice.
So they're keeping busy anyway. Mm. Next one, Gervin. Now, this is an old one. I think this is from around, like, I don't know, 4 years ago, something like that. But I just like the way the buildings got caught in the swinging of the bridge, you know. Nice bright day again, as I say. I'm not bothered about clouds. If it's a blue sky, it's a blue sky.
You could make a thing of it, though. if you can't beat it, join it.
Yeah. And I think the next one will be the last one. This is just the
Colin, is that blackbird on the tree look?
This is just a winter tree taken from Tiny Fine Road. I just was taken with the shape of it, you know, and the general surrounding. It was a cold, cold day when I took that. And that's me.
Well done. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Colin, 8 minutes.
Oh, not bad.
Not bad.
Can I have his 2 minutes?
No.
No.
Great. Thank you, Colin.
Can you hear me? The mic on this laptop is looking really clever.
Yeah.
I hear you.
Yeah, you're fine.
This was born out of Gerben's broken camera thing. I remember that I've got a 10 quid plastic lens that I've bought to play with, and I've never played with it, but as luck would have it, I had it in the bag. Currently, I'm self-isolating with Jackie, my girlfriend, so I'm not at home, it's Stella. This is the first pylon you come to when you leave the estate with Stella. I'm always fascinated when you look up through these things and you see the geometric shapes and stuff. So this is a plastic lens with a grainy black and white filter applied, which is one of the odd filters that I've built in the camera. Just a bit of daftness on the next, please. This is up the bank, crossing the railway crossing, just stopped at the crossing. When I seen this bramble going through the fence, and I just thought, I don't know whether it's or not. And I couldn't decide whether to leave the crisp packet in or take the crisp packet out, so I got left in. It's just while we're standing there, really. Next, please. This was supposed to portray the fact that the roads were empty. This is looking down Stella Lane, I think it is, down towards Bladen. But as I was going to step into the road to take the shot, but would you believe it, there was a car pulled up beside us and stopped for the red light, so it ended up on the curb. So there you go. It wasn't quite as empty as I thought it was. Next, please. I was just intrigued by this wheelbarrow. This is on a footpath through a field that runs parallel runs up towards Stargate. It seemed an intriguing place to park a wheelbarrow. Next, please. This is a bit up the lane. This wasn't here the day before when we walked up there. Somebody might have dumped the mattress. So here's what you find from day to day.
That Lover's Lane.
Sorry?
Is that Lover's Lane?
There's a good title for you, Dave.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Right, next, please. This is beside, in the woods beside Pathhead Mill. Pathhead Mill's to the right of me, yeah, it's about 20 yards away. I was just taken by the way the bend in the tree came to the tree. You can see the top right hand corner of the distortion from the lens. Put in the stream there somewhere as well. Next, please. New bit of plantation just adjacent to that wood, and this is the steps that lead up or down, depending on which way you're coming. From the new plantation, it was just basically so when I point the camera at me.
That's Blade and Burn, David, isn't it?
It's not quite the burn. It's how would you describe it? If you it's Pathhead and walk to, there's a new bit of planting, and then this leads down onto Stella Lane, which goes down towards Bee Gees and and the other end of it goes up to Old Hexham Road, I think it's called. Next, please. This is in the field that had the wheelbarrow in, and it's a gate into the back of one of the houses that's on, I think it's called something else. There's a bit of a crescent there. And I'm just drawn by the fact that paint was peeling off it, and it just looked a bit old and decrepit. Next, please. And this is just the doorknob. You can see the bend in the planks here. That's all because of the lens. I just thought I'd take a close up of the peel and paint. I think the next one's the last one. Yeah, this is the pylons again that I took in number one. The number one is the last pylon you can see. That's heading back home. That's the last one. Just a bit of daftness with your plastic lens.
Well, thank you very much. Interesting.
Right.
8 minutes as well.
Oh, can I tell you, Dave, you've come into our neck of the woods, Dave Quinn.
Yes.
Where we live. And I've hardly seen any of them. It's funny when you live somewhere, you travel all over to go other places to play photographs.
That's very true. It's just we're having the two dogs, Jackie's out all the time, and being sort of stuck without the car, you've got to try and find more walks, haven't you, really?
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much. Great.
Ed.
Thank you. More black and white.
Let me get me pissed. Well, I would just apologise, first of all, because I put mine in as a reserve in case it didn't have enough, because I've shown before, and I really want for other people to have a go. But never mind, here we are in Manchester. There was five of us. There was myself, Peter, Les, Tony Shep, and Alan Errington decided to go to Manchester for the day. So we paid £27 return, couldn't train Newcastle. No problem getting there, apart from almost being crushed to death between York and Leeds. But
Yeah, we got to Manchester. The idea was to sort of do the northern quarter and the gay part of the city. But I must admit, when I got there, the only benefit when you arrived there was absolutely lashing down with rain. I thought, well, yeah, great, typical Manchester weather, great stuff. Then a bit of panic set in because I thought, well, what on earth am I going to photograph here? But once I got the sort of Brick Lane thing out of my head, it became quite good. It was quite interesting. But Alan and Les, they cleared off to Salford Quays, and Peter, Tony and I just did the old town and, well, you know, street stuff really. So that's just on one of the streets in the Northern Quarter, just the bikes there, the rain, people huddled up, and typical of that part of Manchester. Next screen, please. Now, when you go to places, you don't know what to expect sometimes. I don't know if these have been seen or not, to be honest. Some people might have seen something, but I couldn't remember what it said. Two things stuck out to me in this part of Manchester. There was loads of window cleaners, and there was loads of hairdressers and barber shops. Why, I don't know. But this guy, we couldn't get rid of him. He almost wanted to give us a tour in Manchester, but we finally shook him off and moved on. But I was just cleaning windows, George Formby style. Next, please. This part, it really was an old, very old part of the town. Quite interesting, really. I don't normally take homeless people. It's not my thing, really. But I'd heard so much about this sort of spike stuff in Manchester. I thought, well, this guy was far enough away. I liked the curve of the guardrail there. Plus the fact it was typical of that part of Manchester. I don't know whether the guy on the right was looking at me or looking at the homeless guy, but I took the picture and swiftly moved on. Next, Skirm, please.
Can you remember what part of Manchester you were in?
That was the Northern Quarter, Roy.
Hmm.
The Northern Quarter. I think we got off the train. I think it was Piccadilly. Was it Piccadilly, Peter?
Yeah, it was Piccadilly.
Piccadilly's in the centre.
And then it was about 10 minutes. We just followed the sign for 10. We asked a few times, but we actually didn't have a clue what it looked like. but we got away there, and the kindly window cleaner was, well, I say, well, couldn't we eventually shook him up, but he put us in the right direction. But very interesting. This was a very wet sort of Thursday, I think. But interesting place to go. Okay, Graham. This is the hairdressing shop. This is actually, from being in that part of the city, it was quite a good modern frontage, and that was just a photograph through the window. I sort of made a frame with the sort of photographs on the left and right, and as you can see, they're not dirty marks, they're actually the rain on the window. So that was just to explain the hairdressing, the barber shops. Go ahead, next, please.
Open it again.
Sorry?
You're going to open again soon.
Oh, I would imagine so. this is not what it could appear to be. It's not a lady of the streets, actually. I suppose it could be, really, wouldn't it? But what it was, we saw this group of presumably students at the time. This was, I think, the year before last, actually. It was a while. So time's just passed me by here. There was a group of them taking photographs, and just sort of stalked them for a little while and waited till she got in the right position and got the shot and walked away. For those interested, can imagine the colour that was bright pink.
Scaffold there.
Next, please. This was walking towards the St. Peter's section. You can see it's still raining. This was getting on for probably after lunchtime. The rain never stopped. And it's quite a mixed sort of culture in Manchester. I was quite surprised. And I had my camera inside my coat trying to shelter from the rain. And I heard this guy walking up and he was chanting away. So I assume he's some sort of priest of whatever denomination. So I quickly got the camera out and just fired from the hip as he walked by. So, and that practiced me sort of angle shooting there. yes, I do like the photograph because it was off the hip and really I didn't have much time to take it. But that's you only get if you try. Next, please. We're now into St. Peter's Square, as you can see, and we spent a couple of hours here. You could have spent all day there. It was fascinating the way people moved around. We had this, obviously, the mandatory person on the mobile phone, and these three guys here, in what I would imagine was called an uneducational sort of debate here. They were obviously drunk out of their minds, and I would imagine they'd be quite close to it, being quite aggressive, but these are the sort of the variation of people that would hang out there. That was Peter Square, which is it looks almost like a terminus for the tram systems. Next, this.
One time it was the site of the Peterloo Massacre.
Behind where I took the shot is the library and I think the cathedral there. So it's quite a mixture of modern buildings and old buildings. I think I've got a shot here near the library, which is some wonderful architecture. Next, please. Yeah, this is the library, and each of these sort of gaps, there was a door in there. And I just loved the way that sort of thing, went to the fadeaway at the back, and the guy, obviously in full in movement coming past, just held the camera up till he passed, and no problem. Having shot in Newcastle for a lot of years, I'm not very, very comfortable, but in this part of Manchester, even with SLRs, we didn't have one bit of bother, nobody said anything. It was just a great place to photograph. But a lovely, sorry?
Roughly what, should the speed did you use there to get the blur?
Yeah, that's probably about, 15th of a second, perhaps.
It was handheld?
Oh, of course, I would do the tripods.
Yeah.
But see, the brickwork, the stonework, and the people in the distance, they're quite in focus. So it's maybe F8 or something, F11, something like that.
Uh-huh.
Well, that one, Ed, it's lovely. I like that a lot.
Beautiful building. But I said before about movement, you've really, you've got to be prepared for failures. If it had that in a tripod, he would probably end up almost like a ghost figure, or in fact get rid of him altogether. But that's just about right. Maybe 15th of a second.
Yeah, thank you.
Is that a round building, Ed?
No, that's like a portico, Roy.
Because it doesn't look round, but when I was there, it was a very impressive building, Manchester Library. It was a big round building in the city centre. Yeah. But nowhere near the cathedral.
The Palace in Venice.
The cathedral's near Victoria Station. Yes.
Yeah, it's all much the same area. I mean, I think the station would be over my shoulder.
I think they must have built a new library.
Yeah, it's a brand new library, Roy. Oh, sorry, the frontage is, but the library's the old thing.
I like one? That the guy almost had two faces, Ed. You can see his face twice.
Well, this is it. You say you need a lesson in photographing movement. Never mind these pin sharp images, blue skies, get some dirt and grit and movement in them. 50 Shades of Grey. And this is one of the stations where part of them were lovely cobbled streets, the rain on them, dark skies, really couldn't go wrong. And of course these Asian women crossing the road. But yet that was really, really busy, part of town. Is there another one going? I'm not sure where to finish that. Next one. This is the our departure at Piccadilly Station. We'd all ride back together, but as Peter, Tony and I entered the station, we were hit upon straight away by the railway police and interrogated us what we're doing. I think they must have been following us around with these CCTV cameras. And basically, they were really good. We explained what we're doing and they were really good, and what they were more interested in, because this was a very short time after the Manchester bombings, and what they wanted was if they had any photographs of Manchester when there was trouble like that, it would be much appreciated having the photographs to sort of build up any evidence for, catching people, that sort of thing. But we were just sitting waiting for the train, and the group of people were obviously looking at the signboard for their train times, and that was just at the end of the day before we left. I think that's the last one.
Thank you very much. Right. That's great, Ed. Thank you. 9 minutes.
Ooh. Oh, whoa. Could have got could have the fire if you'd wanted.
Thank you.
Right. This was a little challenge that was set in something I was looking at on my iPad, and it said about going out and taking colours in your border, knowing that everybody was in lockdown in their own gardens. Next slide, please. So I went around looking at the various different colours and making sure I had a nice thick border And the colour of the border is always one of the colours that's been selected from whatever the picture is of. So, next picture, please. Orange Dream. This is a Acer that we have, which is it's a beautiful colour when it's first coming out. It's like an acid yellow with a very deep pink surround to the leaves. Next, please. Wallflower. Everybody's garden at one stage used to have a wallflower. And this is quite a nice one, a nice bright mauvey purple colour. Next one, please. A white rhododendron. Although when you take a sample of the picture, it's not exactly white, it's more of a silvery grey. Next one, please. Sundance yellow. I don't know, I forgot the name of this this shrub, but it has almost yellow leaves and white flowers at the moment. Next one, please. Euphorbia. I think this is one of the plants that has, they're the flowers you're looking at, but they're actually green as well as the leaves. So, yep. Next one, please. A nice fern growing out of the stone wall. It's not my, I have to give it credit. I have a soft spot for this. It hasn't got much to cling on to, but it's doing very well. Next one, please. The bluebells were out, and I deliberately spelled it bells, B-E-L-L-E-S. And that's a nice colour. That was when the colour was at their peak. Next one, please. The pink purple pansy. These are all handheld, and that was with a macro lens on. So I'm sorry, it's not as sharp as I would have liked. Next one, please. These are wild poppies that grow, and I think they're actually Welsh poppies, if the truth be known. But they're very good, very nice. They're very colourful, self-seeded. They come every year. Thank you. Next slide. The camellia is a beautiful pink when it's out, but obviously it was past its best when I tied this. So the colour I was actually trying to get hold of was the fading brown of the petals. Next one, please. The birch bark. We've got a big silver birch tree in the garden, and this is a picture of one of its branches in close up. I like the way it peels off, like it's almost like paper. Next one, please. That'll do.
That's interesting. Yeah. All in your garden.
I don't think Kathleen's ever been in the garden.
No, but all the pictures are in your garden.
Yes, they're all taken within about 15 yards of my door.
You have to watch the euphorbia for the sap.
Oh, I don't go near it. I'm not the gardener.
I think
be enjoyable, Peter, Fred.
Sorry? Peter, have you got that euphorbia? I think you nicked a bit from the front of my garden. with permission, of course. I just meant.
I think we did, yes.
Have you got it growing?
I think so, but I'm not the gardener either.
Oh, it should be out now.
I showed it in and I said, very enjoyable, Fred, enjoyed that. Yes, it was good. It was
very good lockdown at it.
I love the way,
I like the way you presented them.
I did as well. Love the way.
It was a good project, Fred.
David, can I have a very short break while I go and fill me glass?
You better ask Kathleen.
You want to keep the bottle in arm's length?
You're permitted. Well, again,
I don't want to miss your talk, though.
Not missing much, don't worry.
I'll wait till you finish, then we'll have a very short break.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, well, again, all of my photographs are
we taken. Take it off your 10 minutes.
In lockdown, and this is in my garden as well, and I like bluebells, and I thought I'd take a picture, but I knew what I wanted. I wanted to isolate the bluebell from the background, but have the bluebell colour in the background. And I took it with my holiday to stop me forgetting how to use it, you know. So I quite like the blue that you can see in the petals, because to me bluebells are purple. But there you go. Next one, please. And this again is in the garden up at the top, and I've noticed a little wren hopping around. And like Colin, I've got somewhere to go and sit, and I do, and I sit there for a long time and I see what's going on. And I knew that the wren visited, and I thought, right, I'll try and get it. And I just like the way the flower, which is a very small flower, and the wren's just sitting there. And it's a very quick bird, you've got to be very fast. And I just managed to catch it, and I quite like that one. Next.
Well, don't you flit about.
And I didn't know I had this living at the bottom of my garden. Not only have I got one, I've got two. And at first I thought it was a mouse. And it's a little vole, and I used to feed the birds and put the food down on the path, but now I don't bother because it either attracts the magpies and the pigeons, so I haven't seen them for a while, so I don't know whether they're alive or they've gone.
Are you sure it's a vole?
Well, yes, because it's got a short tail and it's got small ears, and it looks like the one I've taken. I can't swear to it, but I think it is a. But I could be corrected. You can tell me otherwise.
I'm not sure.
No, I don't know either, but I think, but I'm not sure.
Ask Beatrice Potter.
All right, okay. Anyway. I have friends that will tell me seen any of them because of lockdown, but I will find out eventually. But, I hope it's not mice, because then there'd be way too many of them. Next one, please. Right. I decided that I'd build myself a bird bath at the bottom of the garden. What it is a bin lid on top of a chimney, like an old chimney pot, you know, and it's weighted on the inside, so the likes of heavy birds like this can get into it. And I've had quite a lot of success with a lot of birds, squirrels coming down for a drink. And I thought I'd show you this one, because I quite like the colours that were reflecting in the water. I'm not particularly fond of pigeons, but I thought the light was shining on it quite nicely, and I quite like this one.
How far away were you, Kath? What's your lens did you use?
I've got a 300 lens on it. Not that far, really.
What, 10 metres, 10 yards ish? Or?
Yeah, about 10 metres. Mm. Yeah, not very far. I've got a shed built down there, and I sit there. And that one's actually taken with the use of a tripod, and it's taken on live view, which I'm not really used to doing. So
it's amazing the colour of the
water. The lighting waiter has just appeared. Next one, please.
And the colour of the water on there, Kathleen.
Pardon?
The colour of the water on the bird bath was a pigeon.
It's just the reflections from the colourful plants behind, and the blue and the from the bird itself, and it's the early morning light shining on it, so the light's quite strong.
It's solid, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I have sort of taken the shadows down and enhanced it a little bit on the Windows photo program. Just played around with it a little bit. But I quite like that one, because they're not the most nice bird. And I was lucky enough, this young robin being fed by its mother robin, and I've been watching these. And the robin feeds on the feeder that I've got just away from this bird bath, and it came down and its young one followed it, and the mother flew off and left the young one, and the young one sat there squawking, and the mother didn't come back. And then I noticed in the evening the young one had learned to feed itself, so I can't think that I'll get many more pictures where the mother has to feed the young one again. So nature has a way of, I don't know, the more intelligent than we take them for, not being bossed around by the young one. It's not too sharp, but it was a spur of the moment photograph, and the light wasn't very good, but it was just a grab shot, you know. So that was the robin. And the next one. And this was a picture of the farm cat when I was on my walk up beside going up towards Sunnyside from Wickham. And I've met this cat quite a lot of times. And this particular morning, it was just sitting, and I thought, all right, I'll take a photograph of it.
It's a bit wicked, Cathy.
It is a bit wicked, yes. Even the dog used to run away. It didn't mess with this cat, I can tell you.
It wouldn't mess with that cat.
I did Photoshop it because it did have a sort of a bit of grass across its face. I thought, right, I'll try and do something with it. So that I need to learn more about Photoshop. So I thought, right, okay, I'll have a go. And I did. So that's the farm cat. And the next one, please. And there was another morning I was out with the dog, and I was walking down, and in the field where the gate, over the gate, was an escaped horse that was having a whale of a time. And these horses I had to get out of the way of because they saw the escaped horse and came charging down. So I more or less had to jump in the hedge out of their way. And I thought, right, the horse that they're not looking at the minute, and I thought I would walk obviously from where I'm standing looking at the horses, and then all of a sudden I realised that the horses were going to come in my direction, so I had to get out of the way again quite quickly. And next photograph. And this horse was standing in the other field, and I thought I'd have a little bit of a play with it. It just had this smug look on it.
Kevin Morgan's here, Cal.
I just had time to take a photograph of it before I ran across the gate into the other field.
Very superior look about it.
Oh, it was a lovely horse, and I have got a nice picture of it, but
I wondered if you'd photoshopped eyelashes onto it.
Oh, yeah. No, I just drew them on. I had a fiddle around with it this afternoon, and I thought, this is what it makes me think of. So there's my artistic effort. Right. The next one. And this is the robin, the adult robin in the bath, having a good splash.
8 minutes.
Quite low light. Then the next one. Next one. And this is a farewell to my dog, and it's my most favourite picture. It's up at Holy Island. If you remember, I had a frog in the pond. Same pond, dog looking for a ball. And one child says, "Mom, can dogs breathe underwater? They should stay under so long looking for a ball." And it'll always be the way I want to remember.
It's lovely.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kath. Lovely.
10 minutes.
Nine.
Hello, folks.
Hi, Les.
Hello, Lissy.
Hello. Good evening.
Good evening, Les. This morning was taken in Florida. I was staying at a place called Estero. And you've got a roadway called Wildcat Run, and you've got the houses and the gardens. And at the other side of the road, you had the river, and the river bank was all manicured, so you could see the crocodiles when you were walking along. And there was a number of herons like this. Next one, Gerben, please. It's another grey heron standing on the riverside in a dangerous place because the alligators trying to get him, or the crocodiles, I should say. Next one, Gerben. Well, it was out walking, he came across this little fella, a little squirrel. I got a quick shot. Come out better than I thought it would. So I was quite happy with that. Exmon Gerben. And there's his mate. Taken in literally the same place. All in Estero. Quite a nice place. Peter Dixon would like it. There's a lot of golf courses there. Exmon Gerben. So this one was taken to a place called Lake Trafford. And it's absolutely huge. And the wildlife around the place is absolutely beautiful. But again, you've got to be careful where you're walking. Because there's any alligators or crocs. Next one, Gerben. This one's an osprey. I took this one from the boat. The guy in the boat was taking a group of us to this area specifically to take photographs of these. And one of the guys was trailing his hand in the water. And the guy in charge came a good talk and told me, says, you'll get all killed if a gator comes and gets you because it'll tip the boat over. Next one, Gerben, please. Similar place. It's a different bird, but quite like that shot. It's quite a distance away, so I'm happy with that.
They've got huge talons, haven't they, Les?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. If you got one of them on your bare skin, you'd know about it.
Yeah.
Next one, Gerben, please. This was taken at the beach, one of the private beaches that we got onto, Vanderbilt Beach. And this guy had just set it down to have his lunch, I think. People were throwing stuff for him, and he was trying to catch it. Quite like that. Next one, Gerben, please. This is a bunting of some sort.
Bullfinch, isn't it?
Bullfinch.
Bullfinch.
Bullfinch, is it?
You should take the blossom off my plum tree.
Mm.
Yes. Well, they're taken in Florida, so I wasn't sure if it was typical of our birds. I quite like that as well. Next one, Gerben, please. Tricolored heron. Just standing there watching for grub coming up. Should have eyes in the back of his head. Alligators coming. Because they often get taken by the alligators. Next one, Gerben, please. It's a vulture. I was just lying on my back in the garden where we were staying. This guy must have thought I was dead. So I thought I'd get a shot here. That's the way it came out. Next one, Gerben, please. This is a white heron, as you can see. It's taken to Sanibel Beach in Florida. A week later, that same place that had what they call a red tide, because they had a hurricane there weeks earlier, and the hurricane disturbed all the silt on the seabed and on the rivers, and a lot of fish suffocated, and so they called it a red tide.
What beach was that?
Tons and tons of fish.
There's what beach was that?
Don't shift them, just leave them to rot away. and the stench was absolutely terrible. Next one, Gerben, please.
Oh, that's not yours, Les, that's mine. No,
definitely not. I've got some of that in the garden, the ring.
That's mine.
Thanks, Gerben.
Hang on. I must have missed your title slide then.
Well, thank you very much, Les. 8 minutes again. Thank you very much. Great.
Sorry.
We'll go to Florida.
Right, well, we must be into mine. Before lockdown started, I decided I'd prepare to be locked in and bought myself a creative flower photography course online. And over the weeks, I've gone through this and I've really enjoyed it, and it's inspired me to do lots. The guy was called John Humphreys, and he's FRPS, and all of his work is it's all flower stuff, but a lot of it you wouldn't recognize as flower stuff. So he uses a lot of filters, which I've started with to start with, and that's one of them. And one of the things that I've learned is that filters are often better applied to really low resolution images. This is one of those. It's really cropped in quite close, but the filter works really well on it. So I quite like that. Thanks, Gerben. Next one.
What filter have you got on there?
To be quite honest, because I was really just starting with all of this, I was just playing around so much that a lot of the time I was jumping from one thing to another and clearing it off and jumping to something else. I think it's the posterizing filter, that one.
So this is all software. You don't mean filters on your camera?
No, it's all software. It's all done in Photoshop.
Yeah.
Next one. Thanks. A lot of his stuff is really going into very soft focus, and I would never have really done flower shots in black and white, but it's made me look at that. None of these shots were specifically to do this, so it's all just stuff that I had on my computer. They're not the best shots to do it with, but it was just practicing, and I quite like the softness of it going into a bit of sharpness in the middle. Thanks, Gerben. The next one. Sort of starting to really fade it out so that you're struggling to get an outline and putting texture behind it. And it sort of just becomes, he keeps talking about saving the essence of the flower when you keep the whole flower. So it doesn't matter what you do to it, how extreme you go, to try to keep the essence of the flower. So I was bearing that in mind as I was going on. Thanks, Gerben. Again, this is just going in with textures, Hessian textures and stuff. And I found that it was really difficult to know when to stop. That was the part of the biggest challenge, is to know when to stop. And I think I've gone too far with this one. I tried to get a sort of a bleachy, foggy edge on it that really hasn't worked very well. But I just moved on from that. Thanks, Gerben.
I quite like that one, Linda.
Sorry?
I quite like that one.
Oh, I like it except for what I've done around the edge, which I think spoils it. I haven't got that. I tried to get the transition with the blur vignette a little bit softer, but I haven't gone, it's too sharp. But again, it's gone right, it's cropped right in so that you get really poor resolution before you start with the filters, and it certainly does work better. Thanks, Gerben. And then just finding a line and then putting the original photograph really blurred in behind the line that you've drawn behind the flower. And I quite like that one. And again, that was just the same flower multiplied. It's not two flowers. It's just, oh, well, I've got one. Let's have two. Let's see what happens. But I did quite like that one. Thanks, Gerben. A lot of his stuff is he microwaves flowers. And this is playing around with that, and he uses dead flowers often. I fiddled about there, putting a background and some texture behind it. But he goes on to use that and pick out bits of it, really, really going in very close and then doing more with it and more with it. If you go on to the next one, Gerben. And this is the same flower. And this is really the essence of what he does for his own work. Going in really tight so that you can see that this is still a flower, but in a lot of cases you can't. And it was just the outline and the lines. It just reminded me of a blood supply in something that really appealed to me. Thanks, Gerben. And this is the same flower again. This is just working again with a different piece of the flower and going in with stronger colors. But again, you can see the veins and things become the focal point of it. And I just like the color blocked effect that I was getting there. Thanks, Gerben. And then this is the same flower. And this really is what he was doing a lot of. And sort of trying to transform his flower into something else in a very creative way. And to me, that was starting to look like mountains and stuff. So I went with that idea and put the birds in behind it from another shot. And I really do like that one. I was quite pleased with that. I think that's my lot.
You need a sycamore tree just in the valley.
Yeah, something else. I felt, yeah, I did. I felt I wanted something else in the left. I didn't have anything else.
Thanks, Robin Hood.
Thanks, Gerben. Oh, right. And this was just to make 10 up, I just stuck that one in. That's just another one. I was one short to make my 10 up. Thanks, Gerben. That's me done.
Well, that's interesting. Hey, thank you very much. Spiders, very different. Yeah. Like 7 minutes.
Okay, crystals. There's your name.
Yeah.
I'm backwards. It was always backwards.
Oops,
I love them, Linda. I thought they were fantastic. Long time.
Really lovely. I like flowers as well. Give us ideas now.
Yeah. Want to get your wine, Peter, or not?
No, I'll just go dry. I get through
sacrifices you make.
I'll get through these in 30 seconds.
Oh. I'll have one for you, Peter.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, I've done several night shoots with some of the guys from the Camera Club and Ed McHugh and Paul Hatterman. I think Les has been on a one as well. And this is just down the side, one of my favourite streets to photograph. Mm. I think I kept the lens somewhere around about F11, F16 to get the starburst on the lights.
That's 30 seconds.
30 seconds, next one then. This was on Northumberland Street. And I'm always on the lookout for quirky things, and this guy stopped in front of the shop where they're selling the lingerie, et cetera. And on the window, it's got go pajamas for Christmas. I think he was looking for a fag, you know. I think he was totally oblivious to where he'd actually stopped.
How many cameras has he got?
Next, please. This was down at bottom of Pumpkin Street, or what do they call it, 55 degrees north. Mm. And I just like that sign on the purple peacock. I waited for ages. That's a staircase inside.
Fraser versus George Foreman.
Sorry?
That's my television.
The staircase, but it never happened. I think they must have been knocked down before anybody else. This is at the Hope Jesus Hospital. We're hung around there for quite a while because you've got the subway there as well, where we've got plenty of photographs. This guy came along with his bike, with a blanket over his head. I don't know why, but never mind. There's always something happens if you hang around long enough. Next, please. And that's just the other side of the pillars, looking down the walkway. And there's a glass door, a window at the far end. So you've got the reflections of the lights again. So it makes it look as if it's a longer corridor than it actually is.
Is that inside, Peter?
No, it's if you go back to the previous one, Gervin, it's on the other side of those archways.
Is this the main road?
No. It's
next to it.
Down by the roundabout.
It's under, yes, it's near the roundabout, Pilgrim Street roundabout. Yeah. Holy Jesus Hospital, I think they call it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Used to be the soup kitchen as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a copy of the menu for the soup, the recipe. Inside they had the recipe up, so I snapped it.
30 gallons, was it?
it's got beef in it and stuff, but it'd be a sort of glue, really, wouldn't it? Mm.
I hope you stopped the clock, David.
Most of the questions are relevant to the picture.
This is just a bit further along where it's the underpass, and this guy's just dismounting. They're ready to go. A little bit of movement there. It's an interesting place under there. It's always a bit edgy because you never know who you're going to meet.
Yeah.
Next, please. This was one of the... Durham.
Durham, yeah.
Yeah. Durham, yeah. I forget the name of the bridge. And you've got all these people milling around and...
Old Elvet Bridge?
Elvet, yeah.
Yeah. We've just had a light shower, so we're very fortunate we've just had this light shower. Next one, please. I love the movement in these because you've got guys with two heads, some with two heads, some with three legs.
So what should the speed roughly be there?
1/8 of a second, something like that, 1/15. It was on a tripod. One of the rare occasions I took the tripod.
Peter, that was very dark, wasn't it? That's particular street.
Very, very dark, that street. Yeah, yeah. But good fun, isn't it, Ed? Good fun. Next one, please. Still in Durham. And this guy's got three legs. If you look carefully, either that or one of his legs is twice the length of the other.
Is it Rolf Harris?
Yeah. Wash him out, though.
The telephone box was well illuminated, from obviously from the outside. And I took loads, because there's loads of people keep coming past. And I got loads, but I just like this bloke the best. Next one, please. This is down at...
That's
car park.
Over the Pilgrim Street roundabout.
Yeah.
On the walkway.
That's a great area for night photography. So what a great time down there. I had to be dragged away.
By the pool.
Yeah. It was good. It's just I think just the lighting's so different, isn't it, whether it being street lighting, etc. Sunlight, all that type of thing, you know.
What is surprising, although it's very dark, there is a great amount of ambient light. So yeah. It isn't a black cat in a coal shed, you know?
No, not at all. Next one, please.
I think that's it.
Is that the last one?
Yeah.
All right.
7 minutes.
I would advise anybody to have a go at night photography. We've been out a few times, but you've got to go in numbers. And again, be prepared for if you're doing. It's a great some of the shots that you can get.
Yeah, really good.
Great, thank you, Peter.
You're welcome.
Did you have a tripod when you do it, Ed?
Yeah, normally.
Yeah.
But there's four or five or even six of us at a time that you're pretty. Yeah, they weren't. Durham was quite comfortable, wasn't it?
Yeah.
There's some dodgy, some dodgy areas of where we were in Newcastle, mind.
Yeah. Well, we went up the back. When we were at the back of the library, there was a lot of evidence of drug taking, etc. And a lot of people were coming past. As they realised there's a crowd, they just walked on.
We'd done Newcastle a couple of times, and we thought we'd have a go at something different, and we went decided to go to Durham, and it was quite good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was dodgy when you were at the ride.
That's what we're doing. It wasn't safe for the other people, not for us. it's good.
Was it late? Was it about 10 o'clock or 8 o'clock?
Oh, no. About, this is in November, round about... We usually meet around about 3 or 4 o'clock in November.
Right.
And we're going out about... You know, it's dark by 4, isn't it?
Right, OK.
Yeah, just till about 7. We'll stay out till about 7. Right. Not allowed to stay out any later than that.
Thing is, on no account do you go on your own?
No.
I wouldn't.
No. I mean, if anybody ever fancies it, later on in the year, if we're allowed out, just say we'll go out again, because it's really good. It's so different.
Good idea.
Got a good set of images, you know.
I like the Quayside on my time. I've been on my own most times. But Quayside is fairly safe, I think.
There's nowhere safe. Night on your own.
Well,
okay then. Don't take a good camera with him. Take a cheap camera.
big tripod.
Just take Carol with you. She'll look after you.
Oh, yes.
Okay, Peter. You have any anymore?
No, that's it.
That's it. All right. Going for the photographs tonight. It was the threat.
The threat.
Well, thank you all for coming again tonight. Just to keep you in the loop.
Before you go, I've been in touch with Sandra. Remember Sandra?
Yeah.
Got an email from her about 4 weeks ago.
I offered to send her the link so she could actually log in tonight, but she's feeling a bit shy. She thinks she doesn't want to be accused of, Zoom bombarding? I think it is. So what I'd like to do is write back to her and say, everybody has said she'd be very welcome to actually log in.
Yeah, that would be lovely. It'd
be great to see her.
Yeah, it would.
Yeah.
Right, I'll do that.
Tell her to send some images as well.
I'll do that.
Yeah, I got a very newsy one from her. She seems to be very into photography still and that, and it seems to have been a good move. And
she's the vice president of the club she goes to now.
Oh. Yeah.
So
she's a much more local one than Edinburgh. She didn't join Edinburgh.
No.
Linda, your friend, is she going to come back, do you know?
She seems to be moving a bit away from photography. She's getting into painting a bit. So I suspect not at the moment.
Oh, that's something we did.
Hope it wasn't our night.
No. No, she's not even going to concerts. I mean, she's a member at concert, and she's not even been going to concert Zoom sessions, so.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Hello, Dorian.
Before everybody washes up, can I, again, as normal, please ask the 8 people who've shown something this evening? Please send me your favourite image and a few words to advise what it's all about. Anything you wish to write about it, thank you very much. And on the next bits and pieces, Rebecca will be in there prominently.
promises.
Before you all go, just as I started saying before, to keep you in the loop, a little group of us have got together to try and pull together a more structured programme for across the summer, which Alan has included in his wonderful bits and pieces this week. There's a lot of information in there. And you'll see that from now on across the summer,
each week we're having a Zoom meeting on a Friday night like this, but we're going to not just have members' evenings all the time, we're having different subjects. And so, for example, next week, Peter's going to talk about his black and white techniques. But then we're going to have various people talking over the summer. We're going to critique various photographs. And we're going to have a couple of competitions. And we're calling them challenges rather than competitions because we don't want them to get confused with the regular club competitions. And so you can start taking the pictures now. The first will be judged on the 19th of June, the first challenge. And we are going, and it's an open challenge, so you can take any picture you like, subject to it being taken in 2020. You decided we'd have some recent pictures. So it's anything in 2020, any picture you like, and we're going to try judging it ourselves. A bit like on Strictly Come Dancing or something, we're each going to mark it and we're going to have a knockout competition and see which photograph ends up the winner. So we're going to have a bit, just to try something slightly different. So that's what that is. So get your cameras out. That's on June the 19th. And you'll see in bits and pieces the provisional program we'll pull together across the summer. Some of the gaps still have to be confirmed, but we're getting there quite nicely. We had a good meeting the other night to pull this together.
Can you get me a note to leave the house?
Pardon?
Can you get me a note to leave the house?
No.
Before you wait.
Yes, you can have a note.
Just say something personal to Carol, just a quickie. On Facebook, somebody said, can you name your oldest friend that you know, that you've known for the longest? And I thought, oh, Carol Stout. And then ran and he fell off the chair when I realised how long we've known each other.
Oh, you better not tell everybody.
Shall
I know? Come on, Rebecca.
Over 40 years.
We must have just been two.
Yes. Where I was four.
Carol, I must have known you about that length of time as well, because we've been in this house nearly 40 years.
And wow.
When we lived in the bungalow.
Anybody else out there?
Can anybody get up to around about 60 or 70 to reveal a true age?
I'm quite happy to say my age. I don't hide it.
Roy, it must have been, it was about 1970 when I joined Wickham Camera Club, and you were in it then, I think, weren't you?
You rejoined it in 1970.
Yeah. So
you were in it much earlier, weren't you?
I was in it before
you
then.
You were chairman soon after I joined.
Yeah. So that's got to be your
50 years. David Stout was a member when I joined. And you were chairman shortly after, I think. And that would be 1985, roundabout.
I joined in 84.
Yeah.
And Roy joined the year after.
Yeah.
I've been
I started school.
I've been really enjoying all the pictures from time gone by in Wickham Camera Club. Seeing all the young bit things on all those photographs.
Yeah, one or two of them. That's the thing that interests me a bit about them a little bit, was how people look then compared, if there's met quite a few of them still now, how they look now. And some of them are more formal looking.
I watched that Trevor Ermel, because he sent me a picture on a train with a young girl next to me and said, that's your wife Penny. The only thing was, it wasn't.
Well, Trevor, the founder member, and he organised the Furthest North day outing, and that was a day trip to Aberdeen to look at a railway engine.
Right.
Well, he's into cats and railway engines. He photographed both in China as well.
So, as I say, Alan will be well would welcome any interesting stuff like that for the bits and pieces, because it's going great guns. Thank you, Alan, very much, because I find it fascinating reading. It's good stuff. Yeah. Thank you very much. Right. Anybody else got anything interesting to say before we finish?
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers. See you next week.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thanks. Thanks, Gavin. Thank you.
Bye. Stay safe. Bye. Au revoir.
Night.
Bye.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Non cruise ahead.
Ta-ra.
Bye.
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 Bye, all.
I was just waiting to see who was last. Just to finish the recording on a high note.
Okay. Kind
of, you know.
Just the three of us left.
Yeah, it's just the diehard.
Empty glass.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Same here. So on that note, good night.
Okay, Gavin, just you and I.